Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hour number three with Mike and George. Got a little loose this morning. We talked about foot injuries. We've talked about George's ongoing draft, his interminable draft. We've talked about touchdown celebrations. Our buddy Cha-Cha, George, he says Hogan, Bennett, Mitchell, and Amendola are banged up. Just stop Edelman, limit the running game, and break out the terrible towels. Easier said than done.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Just limit Edelman and limit Blunt and Deion Lewis, who had an incredible game last week, and they're off to the races. There's a lot there. A lot there to unpack. I think the key is
cake.
Just keep cake.
It's easy.
Just keep Brady off the field. I think that's the plan. That's the way to do it. That's the way they're going to try to do it. And I know Belichick's going to have it dialed up for them. So wanted to talk a little bit. I know, gosh, this thing has been beaten to death. But, I like debate as much as the next guy. And the Hall of Fame obviously occurred this week. Hall of Fame voting for Major League Baseball. We got our three guys in. In Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Ivan Rodriguez, the first thing I would say is it seems obvious to me that the prejudice against players that are accused of or rumored to have dealt with steroids is thawing or has thawed. Is that fair to say?
I think that is fair to say. I think once again, Major League Baseball has no one to blame but themselves, because once you allowed Bud Selig to get in, who, let's face it, was the czar of this, he oversaw this, you know, he was the guy in charge there, let it run rampant. You know, once you allowed him to get in, well, you're pretty much giving the okay to let the players in as well. Now, I'm the baseball guy here, so I'll tell you first and foremost, I don't care. I'm not a big Hall of Fame guy. I don't care about MVP awards. I think this is all, a lot of it's all just PR. Where the right people don't get in anyway. I think there are plenty of guys in the Hall of Fame who don't deserve to be there. Not because of PEDs, but just because they're playing on the field. They were not Hall of Famers. You know, so I think it's kind of ridiculous. I'm a very harsh person when it comes to the Hall of Fame. I think it should only be the best of the best. You name me a player, Mike, and if I have any doubts, well, then you shouldn't be holding the Hall of Fame.
So did you doubt that Tim Raines should be in?
I had some doubts, but I don't mind it because, you know, when you look at his numbers again, I mean, really, his numbers are fantastic. Outside of Ricky Henderson, he may be the best leadoff hitter of all time. And he was on base and incredible, almost 40% of the time, which is just incredible for what he did. What, because the home runs weren't there? I think he only had 170 in his career. Is that why we downgrade him a little bit?
They played in a decade where offense was down a little bit, though. You know, 294 average, 385 on base, and 800 steals.
It's just fantastic for that. So I don't really have an issue with him. As far as the steroid, I know you're going to get to the steroid guys. As far as the steroid guys, my feeling is this. If you would have asked me 5-6 years ago, I would have said, no way. You got to get all the clean players in. But then you start realizing, my God, do you honestly think, does anybody honestly think that nobody who's done steroids is already in the Hall of Fame? That's silly. Of course they're already in. Why don't we have any of this, anger about greenies? Greenies have been around since the 40s. Everybody did them. In most major league clubhouses, you had this is back in the day, 70s, 80s. You had two pots of coffee. One would be marked leaded. One would be marked unleaded. You could figure out what they meant. What leaded meant there was greenies in them. Unleaded meant there wasn't. That's what that meant there. But greenies is okay. It kept you awake, allowed you to play better. You could argue that's a performance enhancing drug there. You know, it's certainly a drug that made you play better. You know, a big reason why people believe nowadays the numbers are down are because they don't allow greenies anymore. That it's even more important than the steroids because of playing a game every day over pretty much 6 months. You can't do it. It's just your body's beat down. That the greenies help that, but the greenies are okay. That's why all these old time Hall of Famers that is, oh my God, they can't get in. They did steroids, but it was okay for you to do greenies. Give me a break. I mean, they're all hypocrites.
Yeah, and you know, you look at some of the teams that Pudge played on. I'm not criticizing him. I'm not castigating him in any way, you know, but he is a guy that lost 30 pounds during one off season.
He stopped eating fast food, Mike.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me too.
Worst lie ever.
Yeah, and Todd Helton did the same thing. You know, he's a guy, he said it was because of his back issues. He was going to drop a bunch of weight. He lost 30 pounds in the offseason. Just so happened to be the offseason where they instituted testing. So, you know, Ivan Rodriguez played on Texas Rangers teams with Ken Caminiti, with Jose Canseco, with Alex Rodriguez, with Rafael Palmeiro, all guys who have either flunked tests or admitted openly to having used steroids. So I don't say that it makes him guilty. I'm just saying that when Jose Canseco is told the number of stories that he's told, and they've all washed out to be true, you know, it's at least circumstantial evidence that Rodriguez might have used. I don't think it's fair, frankly, to call guys guilty when talking about stories like this. My ultimate take on it is I've always been really soft on this, similar to you. Guys have been using different things over the course of time. Major League Baseball was stupid enough to let this go on, so you're blaming the players for trying to make $100-200 million by gaining an edge and frankly just trying to be better at their craft. I'm not the guy that's going to sit here with the moral slide rule and tell you, oh, these guys cheated, so they're out. If you wanted me to pick a rule regarding steroids in the Hall of Fame, hey, if you failed an official test, you're out for good. Sorry, Manny, you're out. That's what I would do if you wanted to take a hard line stance. But the guys that have sort of admitted or never flunked an official test, I'm sorry. They go in with everybody else. You know, you could make a case, I suppose, since A-Rod sat out a year and he admitted it, then he would be out too. Fine. But I'm not going to go to the mat for Alex Rodriguez. He's BS'd too many people for too long for me to be a fan of his in that way anymore. I think he's great on TV, and he's got a second act to his life that may be may impress some people, but that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, A-Rod did it. Whoever finally got through to him, a PR person, his agent, whatever, did a fantastic job. I mean, fantastic job. Saved his post-career game, where now he'll have a shot at getting in. Because I have a funny feeling, you know, now that, like I said, a lot of the old-time writers, they were washed out after last year. Guys who weren't voting anymore, weren't paying attention, they were washed out. So they're no longer voting in the Hall of Fame. A lot of the newer writers seem to be okay with the steroids. You know, they'll still vote for you. I would vote for them. But the numbers of the numbers, and my reasoning is this. My guess is that 60 to 75% of the players were doing steroids at that time. You know, I think once one has to do it, you sort of all have to do it to keep up.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not going that direction. I'm not playing the morality to police. It's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Morals. You know, it's not their job to be the moral police. It's not. The numbers are the numbers. You know, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to put them in. If you want to put them all in a certain section and have something written on a plaque or their plaque that they played during the steroid era or that they were found to have done steroids, I have no problem with that. That's a fact. And no problem with that whatsoever. I think that solves all the problems. You know, you want to, let's say, we'll pick A-Rod, since we know he's admitted to doing it. We know he's done it a couple of times. You know, you vote him for the Hall of Fame. You want to put at the bottom of his plaque was caught twice doing steroids, suspended for a year or whatever it was for doing steroids. I don't have any issue with that. You want to put him in their own separate wing? This player played during the 90s and, to whatever, 2000, blah, and it was the steroid era? I have no problem with that. I think that solves all your problems there. You know, do I think A-Rod is a problem? Sure. Manny Ramirez? Absolutely. You know, but, you know, other than that, the numbers are still the numbers, and all these guys were doing it, or a good part of them were doing it. You can't keep them all out. You've already let Bagwell in. You've let Piazza in, guys who were suspected of doing it. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. No proof. You're guessing here. So, like I said, and for me, if anyone honestly thinks that there already isn't a steroid guy in there, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's absurd to think that. And in Football Hall of Fame, same thing. You know, there's guys obviously in there
football's loaded with them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always said about the steroid thing is the NFL was laughing all the way to the bank. MLB was, it was a decade-long scandal for MLB, and it still can't end because they can't get the stupid Hall of Fame thing right. And the NFL is sitting there saying, yeah, we've had a testing policy in place since 1994, and, everybody's clean as a whistle. Obviously not. They throw a few guys under the bus every year that get dinged, and there's still a, I think, a certainly a large swath of players that still have to use PEDs just to get through the season, and I don't begrudge them for it. So surprise! I mean, Hoffman really right there on the edge. You would suspect he'll get in next year. Vlad Guerrero, he's a Hall of Famer to me. He's got 72% of the vote. You figure next year he'll cruise in. Some people are up in arms about it. I think he should be first ballot. Honestly, if the guy gets in next year, I'm okay with it. Same with you, I'd imagine.
You know, we were arguing. I was arguing with Scott. Jake and I are both arguing with Scott about this. Scott's like, well, I don't think he should be on the first ballot. Well, for me, either you are a Hall of Famer or you're not a Hall of Famer. I don't care if it's first ballot or not. It doesn't make a difference to me. You know, you either are or aren't. Now, one thing people have to realize is the rule of 10. If you don't understand what the rule of 10 is, players are only on the ballot for 10 years, and you can only vote for 10 players. So some players this season, you know, some writers this season may have voted for certain players, not because they thought they were better than Vladimir Guerrero, but because they were going to fall off the ballot if they didn't.
Reigns, so obviously, in particular.
Reigns, right. I think most players would probably say Guerrero was a better player than Reigns, but if they didn't vote for Reigns this year, he goes away and has no chance to get in. Well, the Veterans Committee could vote him in years from now. But I think that also comes into play here. You know, Guerrero will get in. Not worried about him at all, he'll get in. But it just won't be this season. And I'm okay with that. I think a lot of players, Jorge Posada, a lot of people are upset that he fell off the ballot.
Now, I'm surprised by that, though.
Yeah, I don't think Jorge Posada is a Hall of Famer anyway. I think he's the Hall of Very Good, but not a Hall of Famer. But I do think it's unfair that he already fell off the ballot, but I understand why. It's because all these PED guys that no one was voting for a couple of years ago, now people are voting for. You know, Clemens, Bonds, they spiked up. You know, they spiked up because guys are voting for them now, which means they couldn't vote for other players. So it's unfair that Posada fell off after 1 year. He deserved to be on for more than that. He probably deserved to be on for several years. Never to get in, but to be on for several years. But yeah. I understand why it's happening here. Steroids is throwing things all out of whack.
Yeah, I mean, the Posada thing, I think the argument for him, and I'm not arguing for him in the Hall of Fame, but the argument for him is that his numbers versus other catchers historically are great, right? He's got great offensive numbers, over 1,000 RBIs, and, you know, he obviously was very successful postseason-wise. So in that sense, I think it's a bummer George and I are Yankees fans. It's a bummer that Jorge doesn't get on. I don't think he's universally beloved by Yankees fans anyway, and I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a guy that historically, his catching hitting numbers are great. There's only one or two guys that are going to be better than that, right? Pudge and Piazza, at least right now. In time, he'll get passed, but those are his peers, and he's clearly behind them. But I think that's why you hear the Posada name thrown out there a bunch. But to your point, George, the rule of 10, the 10 years, and Lee Smith was grandfathered in his 15th year. He's out, unfortunately, for and fortunately for Tim Raines, he gets over it in his final year on the ballot. But think about it. It's Bagwell, Raines, and Rodriguez. Those guys get in with over 75%. Then those people could have also voted for Hoffman and Guerrero. That's five. People are trying to make a push for Edgar Martinez. I don't think he's going to get there, but that's a sixth vote. Then you got Clemens and Bonds. There's seven and eight. Mike Mussina, he's got a hell of a resume, as does Curt Schilling, who actually dropped in percentages for tweeting things that people disagreed with. So that's 10 right there. Not to mention Manny Ramirez, who has a steroid cloud hanging over him. Larry Walker, who had filthy numbers for a good portion of the 90s. Jeff Kent, who's a guy historically amongst second basemen, has tremendous numbers, but he looks like he's never going to get in because he's only got he's got 5 years left, but he's only got 16% of the vote. And on and on and on. So you can see how Posada doesn't get that vote.
Yeah, like I said, I think he should have stayed on the line, on the ballot. I think it's it makes him feel bad that he didn't couldn't even make it more past 1 year. He was a good player. Started late, you know. I think that's also a problem. He started late, so maybe his counting numbers weren't quite there. Defense, he was really average at best, especially after the shoulder surgery. He was a player who had so many passed balls, and that was certainly an issue as well.
Decent arm, but yeah, he could not catch behind the plate.
Yeah. I think he was the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
No kidding.
But, you know, in the end, not the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, if we look up Jorge Posada's career earnings, I think he's going to be just okay with being in the Hall of Very Good. $117 million by count, career salary on Baseball Reference. So, guys that got, let's see, who got the least amount of votes? Tim Wakefield got one vote. Jason Veritek, two votes. Edgar Renteria, two votes. Maglio Ordonez, three votes.
And see, I want, that's why, you know what? You know what's going to happen next year? Next year, when all these votes become public, and that's what's happening next season, you're not going to see that anymore. Because really, if you voted for Veritek, Wakefield, who else did you mention there?
Renteria.
You should, right, you need to explain yourself. Mm-hmm. That, well, I mean, who'd you leave off? Because I know, you know, Roto Experts, we did our little Hall of Fame thing. There were 13 to 14 really, really good candidates here. So who did you leave off to vote for Veritek, Wakefield, or these guys? That's a joke. That's why I can't wait for these votes to be, you know, these ballots to be public. And now explain yourself. Explain to me why you're voting for Edgar Renteria.
He did win a World Series MVP.
Yay!
I'm just trying to give him a notch on his resume. But in any event, you know, I think you and I are really kind of on the same page here. I honestly think Vlad should have been in, but I can't cry about it because he's probably going to be in next year. You know, it's he's got 72% of the vote already. I can't remember who the new guys are coming in next year. There's going to be a year, one of these, where a bunch of big guys get in. But I think I read something that, so five guys getting over 70% of the vote, that hasn't happened in a really long time, I believe.
Correct.
Maybe since the first class, did I hear that right? Where five guys get such a large percentage of the vote?
I don't remember offhand, Mike, but it's been a while since that's happened. They'll all get in. Although, everybody, if you get over 70%, you're going to get in. It's just a matter of time. And the steroid guys, I think, are going to get in, too. I think you're going to see Bonds and Clemens get in within a few years as well.
Yeah. They, I mean, Bonds and Clemens, both their fifth year on the ballot, they got 5 years to go. So that's it. That's our Hall of Fame section. We'll get to some more creative stuff after this. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George here until 10 o'clock. Been bouncing around a lot of different topics all day. Got some Twitter polls up. Got Cha-Cha emailing us. He said, name one catcher in Posada years playing besides Ivan Rodriguez who was better and managers were scared to pitch to.
Piazza.
I was just going to say, we just talked about it, Mike Piazza. So I probably can't name anybody beyond those two, but Cha-Cha's a big Yankees fan too, so what am I going to say? I'm sorry that Georgie fell off the ballot, but I don't think he was getting in anyway, so maybe it'll save him the hand-wringing for the next 9 years and then not getting in. That would have been probably more frustrating. In any event, talked a lot about a lot of different things today. Wanted to get to, let me get to the polls in a second. I'll get an update there where we have asked three different questions. Talked about the Falcons-Packers game, Steelers-Pats, and then my son's broken foot. And Falcons are favored by five. What result happens tomorrow? The answer in the lead right now is that the Falcons win and cover. So that's a 49% right now, George. 28% actually say the Packers win. So that's in second place. So we have an interesting kind of dichotomy there. We think a lot of people think the Falcons will get them by a touchdown or so. And 28% of people that think the Packers will win outright. The one that is gaining the least amount of votes is that the Packers lose and cover. So it seems like if the Falcons win, that people think it'll be by a touchdown. So beyond that, Pats are favored by six. What result happens tomorrow? Pats win and cover is 39%. Steelers win 28%. By the way, I'm an idiot. I made this into four choices. It should really only have been three choices. So it looks like the Pats and Steelers game is split kind of down the middle. 39% Pats win and cover. 32% Pats win, don't cover. 28% Steelers win. So that one's split right about down the middle. So I apologize to Pete Considori, our fabulous producer. I screwed up the polls. I was just, you know, early in the morning, I was putting them together, I screwed it up. It should have been only three choices, not four, because the Pats win in covering and the Steelers lose in covering is the same thing. So enough about that. People don't want to vote about my son's broken foot, so it's okay. You guys feel guilty about it. Not a lot of votes here, but right now people are saying that we need to add bulk and give him some protein powder while he's sitting on the couch for these next 4 weeks. So that is what it is, George. That's our breakdown. What would you vote for there? You get him in front of the TV, get him a car, arts and crafts time, or you want him to add bulk?
Well, if you, I certainly wouldn't be the Ed Bulk, and I'm certainly not getting him a car either. TV, I mean, I'm sure that would play a part of it, get him some movies. So it's 4 years old, so it's not like you could just all of a sudden introduce him to the movies we grew up with. I put him some, what's it from, Woody Woodpecker, you know, some Tom and Jerry, maybe some Looney Tunes. I was always.
Can you even find Woody Woodpecker anymore?
Yeah, I have the DVDs, man.
Wow, we might have to do a swap here for the next 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, I got no the DVDs. Other than that, it probably would be a little arts and crafts, games with them. You know, play maybe Candyland, stuff like that. Just try and keep as entertained as you possibly can. Because as you said, I would feel guilty as well. I know I did it with my daughter; she broke her arm. I probably felt worse about it than she did.
Yeah, no doubt. He's not really impacted by it. I think it's just going to get to a point where he's going to want to run, and we have to tell him that he can't. He tries to do that a little bit too. Just tries to sort of heel toe it with his walking boot, but we'll see. Any event, free agency, NFL free agency coming up here in the next couple of months. I read a list on NFL.com of the top 25 unrestricted free agents for this year. And at the top of the list are two guys that played against each other last week, Le'Veon Bell and Eric Berry. There's been a lot of stories regarding Le'Veon Bell where the Steelers will try to franchise tag him and then conceivably work on a long-term deal. I think that's absolutely a possibility. He's going to be a Steeler next season no matter what. I'm not really that concerned about that. Eric Berry is a little bit more interesting because they franchised him this last year. He's a superstar. He's a great player. I think it created a little bit of animosity. You know, obviously Eric Berry fought back from illness and he had cancer and he came back to be the comeback player of the year last year. And not only that, but he's been tremendous this year. So playing under the franchise tag, it could be argued that they didn't give him the long-term deal because they didn't know what his health status would be. And I understand that. It is a business, and they're trying to figure out what the best course of action would be. But ultimately, Eric Berry and Dontari Poe are both unrestricted free agents, and I think one of these guys is going to end up looking for a deal. So what are your thoughts, really, on somebody on the Chiefs scenario? What are they going to do here? I mean, and if there's one guy you had to choose, would you choose the dominant defensive tackle or the wide-ranging free safety?
Well, that's what it very well could come down to. If they can't sign one of these guys to a contract, which is going to be very difficult depending on what kind of money they want, and I imagine they both want big money, then they may have to choose what's more important to you. You know, that dominant defensive tackle or dominant safety. In today's NFL, I imagine it's Poe. You want someone who can rush the pass, or especially somebody who can rush it from the inside. That's extremely valuable. So, like I said, for me, Mike, I assume if, and I have to say, it's a huge if they can't get a deal done with both, and they're certainly going to try, or a deal done with one, I think if they had to choose, they keep Poe, franchise him, you know, and Berry moves on.
That's crazy to me. I mean, in IDP leagues, Eric Berry was the 14th safety in the league that George and I play in, where George got to the finals of 32 teams. Eric Berry was a 14th safety. He's a really legitimate IDP option. As far as I have Dontari Poe in this same league, he was 2 years ago very dominant because of them scheming a little bit differently and creating more pressure from the outside. Poe isn't asked to do as much. So from a statistical standpoint, he's not as good, but that's not really the issue here. Dontari Poe is a great defensive tackle. People talk about the jump, throw, pass, and all that kind of stuff, but he's really a great interior defensive lineman. It's crazy to me that they would let Eric Berry move on, especially how he's played this year. I would think it could create a divisiveness in the locker room, too, letting a guy like that go.
No, I'm not worried about the locker room. I think most players realize they have no choice, can't sign both. So that doesn't worry me here. Listen, I think they want both. I don't think it's not a situation they're thrilled to be in. They're going to try very hard. The only reason I would see it causing a problem in the locker room is if they didn't try to sign one or if they lowballed one. But I have a funny feeling they'll make good offers to both. It just comes down to they may not have $60 million to hand out in signing bonuses.
This is true.
You know, so I think that may be the issue there. That it's not, they're not the Cowboys here. You know, not some of these other teams are going to have all this money lying around. So I think that's going to be the problem there. I think Barry's medical history could play a part in this as well. But in the end, for me, it just comes down to today's NFL. What does every team want? Pass rushes of any size, any sort. I think they'll keep Poe.
Yeah, certainly possible. And they've obviously had guys like Dee Ford and Justin Houston in there as well that, when healthy, put a lot of heat on the quarterbacks too. Derek Johnson, an older player at the linebacker position as well, might be somebody that's moving on. Kirk Cousins is the top quarterback available. I think we all know that he had his prove-it year. He had a bad game against the Giants at a bad time, but I don't think it's really impacted him much at all. He will get north of $20 million from somebody. It is likely to be Washington. I say that there's always a slight possibility because Washington is Washington and they make some quirky decisions, but I think Kirk Cousins finds himself there. Kawan Short, Panthers defensive tackle. You know, we're talking about Dontari Poe. Kawan Short, you know, you read certain things in this article on NFL.com alludes to the fact that they might have let Josh Norman go because they knew they really wanted to keep Kawan Short here.
Yeah, and I'm sure they do. Like I said, free agency is always, you don't know. Because if you can't sign your own guy, there's always that one team that's going to go out there and spend a ton of money that believes this is the year, right? This is the year that this player will make a difference for my team. Now, once again, defensive tackle. When I think Kawan Short, I also wonder, is it 3-4, 4-3 defense? That also plays a part in this. You know, I never understand, Mike, where, you know, there are teams that run a certain defense. You know, they'll sign a big-name free agent, then they're surprised when that player doesn't fit into their system.
Dolphins, you know, last year are the perfect example.
Right. I mean, how do you not do your homework here? If the guy excels in a 4-3, just don't assume he's going to do the same thing in a 3-4 and pay him a gazillion dollars. This sets your franchise back. It always bewilders me here. That being said, I don't think Kawan Short's going anywhere.
Agreed. And I think it's a great point. You know, Bill Polian, I heard Bill Polian say something as last year as I was listening to him. It's just kind of drop knowledge. Obviously, Bill Polian, a longtime successful executive. He's on ESPN now. He's got a funny, like, curmudgeonly persona about him, but he drops incredible amount of knowledge about decisions he has had to make over the years. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, the thing you have to understand about free agency is all of those players are flawed in some way. It is really rare that the crown jewel of free agency becomes available. You had Peyton Manning a few years ago when he was still relatively healthy. That was a very unique scenario, right? Where the Colts were going to have the number one pick. He's dealing with an injury. They can't count on him to be around forever. So he was a free agent. And he goes to Denver, they end up winning a Super Bowl, and he threw for 55 touchdowns in one season. So that obviously worked out. But it's pretty rare that somebody like that ever gets to the open market. They're locked up in some way. Now, Le'Veon Bell's an unrestricted free agent. He's not really going to be on the market. The Steelers are going to sign him to either a one-year deal or a long-term deal. Kirk Cousins, he's not a perfect player, right? And he's the top quarterback out there. Eric Berry is a very unique scenario because of the reasons we just mentioned, his medical history probably creating some doubt in some people's minds, but really I don't think he's a flawed player. I think he's a fantastic all-pro safety. So it's really rare, but you go down the list, Kawan Short, it's got to be the right scheme, and he probably stays in Carolina. Chandler Jones, we know that what off-the-field stuff there. Alshon Jeffrey, clearly a flawed player. In fact, wide receiver free agents that move from team to team, the success rate is terrible. So Alshon Jeffrey, somebody signing him to think he's going to pick up where he left off a couple of years ago when Brandon Marshall was playing alongside him. Like you've said before, you think he might be Alvin Harper.
Yeah, I've said it many times because I think there's something to that. When you play with a great wide receiver, it means you're facing the number two cornerbacks. Defenses aren't geared to stop you. Now, that being said, I think Jeffrey does have talent, but I agree with your point you're making here. You know, these guys, they're good in a certain system. You know, they know they're out of the system back-to-back. Now he's going to go to a new team, a new quarterback, has to learn all this. Doesn't always work.
Yeah, I mean, you go down the list. Melvin Ingram from the Chargers, low sack total, but people like him as a player, and he's a disruptive outside linebacker. Calais Campbell has been a great player, but he's a year older. Jason Pierre-Paul, Jamie Collins, who actually I believe is getting locked up now for a long-term deal with the Browns. I believe that was a rumor as of yesterday. But down the list, Stephon Gilmore, Bills cornerback, A.J. Boye from the Texans, who came on strong here at the end of the year. Like, these aren't perfect players that get to free agency, and they have to be the right system. It has to be the right fit. And what if he shows up and the scheme is off and he can't get in touch with the playbook, whatever it might be. There are always red flags regarding free agency. There's really only one guy this year that might get to the open market, Eric Berry, where I don't really see any flaws. And this is a guy who came back from cancer. People say, well, that's a questionable medical history. I'm not a doctor. I can't really make any predictions regarding that. But as far as his play on the field, I don't see what you can complain about. But I just thought a little segment there on free agency. I always think it's something interesting to talk about. And, you know, teams are going to be trying to fill holes here, George. The Chiefs losing somebody like Eric Berry when they're this close would be a blow to their long-term chances, especially when they seem to have a issue at quarterback as far as his top level of play. Am I right? Does that make sense? Chiefs window probably closing here?
I agree. I mean, we talked as far as when you bring up Alex Smith into this, they are really only a player or two away. Right? I mean, they're there. But now, you know, you have running back issues as well. Spencer Ware doesn't seem to be the answer there. He's an average back at best. Now you might lose Berry or Poe. Now you throw in Alex Smith, who's not a game, really a game changer there. What do you do? You know, we talked earlier this week, you know, we had a segment on where does Tony Romo end up? And KC came up. Because could he be the final piece of the puzzle there? To give them that piece there, the only problem is you're still paying Alex Smith $17 million next year. I think it's $14 million against the cap. You probably can't do it.
Yeah, it's not going to work. I just don't see it. Apparently, the Romo to Denver stuff isn't going to happen either. I think there were – I just heard something earlier this week that's not – people are trying to connect those dots, and it's not really likely to happen in Denver.
No, and I don't care about, you know, Scott brought that up, that Elway said it's not happening. What do you say? What do you think Elway is going to say?
Yeah, that's
true. You can't
say,
yes, I'm dying to go get him. So if he says that, then the price goes up. So you don't ever care about what a GM says. They're always going to lie because, once again, they want to keep that price down. So, but that being said, I think once they brought in Mike McCoy and Bill Musgrave, they pretty much gave away what their thoughts are there, and that's they want to work with Semien and Lynch, and I don't blame them. I think I would do that as well. Got to give them at least another year. I think some people think that Houston, for the same reason as KC, that Houston would make sense. I think Houston makes sense even more than KC, because you got Osweiler. Bill O'Brien didn't want him in the first place, it seems like, and he looks like he's a bust. Man, Romo would seem to be the final piece of the puzzle there. Good offensive line, good wide receiving core, good running game, very good defense. J.J. Watt back next year. You can make an argument that Romo would even be a better fit in Houston, but then again, we hear that's probably not happening either. And I get it, because once again, you've only given Osweiler one season. Is that fair? Probably not.
Yeah, and listen, we knew it was a huge gamble on Osweiler. I think that would be a really nice landing spot for Romo, but it's so hard to work out this money when you have a guy in place that's getting paid what he is. I understand the Denver situation. I think they do want to develop the young quarterbacks, particularly Lynch, who they spent a first-round pick on, by the way. But that window, Elway understands this as well as anybody. He's going to see that window close pretty soon. Like, Von Miller is young, and other defenders are young, but you know what happens? These guys become free agencies. Somebody moves on, and then we get to another point in the life cycle of this team, and then they got to move on. So that's it about free agency. We'll wrap up the games that are coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk about the games tomorrow as well, but we'll wrap up the show next couple of segments. It's Mike and George back after this. Welcome back. Mike and George here for the next 20 minutes or so. Talk about a couple of different things here. One thing, George, we talked about Coach Kyle Shanahan at the very beginning of the show. A couple of coordinators moved around here. the Chargers actually hired – so the Chargers lose Mike McCoy. They let Mike McCoy go. He ends up in Denver. We knew that was going to happen pretty quick, that McCoy would have a job. So, obviously, he's shown talent to work on the offensive side of the ball and will continue to do so. So, kudos to them. Like you said just before the break, good duo there between him and Musgrave to develop the young quarterbacks. Yes?
Yeah, I think they ended up making the right moves here. I was surprised that Shanahan didn't end up there. I thought, once again, bloodlines, what they wanted, develop a quarterback. I think he would have been really good there. But, hey, they went a different direction. But I don't mind it. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, and the Vikings had Pat Shurmur took over for Norv Turner in the middle of the year. They removed the interim tag there, so he's going to stick around to work with whomever, whether he continues to work with Sam Bradford, who set a completion percentage record this year by throwing the ball 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, or if Teddy Bridgewater comes back, plus anybody else that comes back with it. Adrian Peterson with a big cap number, he's probably going to be moving on. And then obviously the young receiving core there led by Stephon Diggs. So we'll see what the Vikings look like next year. It's going to be an interesting team, right? They got so upset by injuries really to the offensive line, which is the key, despite the fact that we had higher profile injuries. The offensive line getting so hurt is what buried this team.
Absolutely. That offensive line was putrid. I mean, putrid. Everything went wrong for Minnesota this year. I mean, really, whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Whatever.
And they went 8-8.
And they went 8-8. They fell apart at the end. They've already said that Bradford goes into the next season as the starter. Now, that might be for two reasons. One, I guess they think he played well enough. You mentioned he had the record for completion percentage, which might tell you all you need to know about how important that stat is.
That's right.
And also, I don't think they are really sure if Bridgewater will be ready to begin to play in September anyway. You know, they may worry. That injury was really – that injury was terrible. So that may also play a part there. So what's going on there? What's going to go on? I think one of the biggest things in the offseason, Mike, what happens with Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, we didn't even mention him during the free agency discussion in the last break, in the last segment, but he's 31 now, so it'll be his age 32 season, I believe. I'll just double check exactly when his birthday is, not that it really matters. Yeah, he actually turns 32 in about 8 weeks, 2 months exactly from today, he turns 32. So, you know, we don't often see players succeed over the age of 30 with any kind of regularity. Curtis Martin, an exception. A couple of other exceptions there. I think Matt Forte is 30 right now, right? And then this year wasn't a big year for Matt Forte. It was at times, but he didn't last the season. Adrian Peterson was 30 last season and had a huge year. This year, 37 carries for 72 yards. So, he'd have to do it on some sort of a discount for him, right, George, if he's moving to another team, he's moving to another team because of that cap number, or comes back to the Vikings at a discount.
Well, we know he's not going to get paid the $18 million or whatever he's due this year. That's not going to happen. I mean, you don't want to insult the guy because, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, right? So what do you offer him? I mean, even $6 million seems a lot for a running back in this day and age. But is he going to go down that much? You also have to judge, why wasn't he good last year? He had the injury again, 32 years of old, a bunch of knee injuries now. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? He wasn't good when he was healthy last year. Was it the offensive line? Was it him? You know, has he finally reached it where he's just not the same back anymore? You know, he mentioned this week that he'd be happy going with the Giants. I don't see them taking him on, not at this age with his problems and also his past legal problems. I think they already dealt with the kicker, John Brown. I don't think they're going to bring on another one. You know, yeah. So I don't see that happening there.
They got offensive line issues of their own anyway.
Right. He's from Texas. So he mentioned Houston. They got Lamar Miller. That's not happening. Dallas certainly isn't happening. He mentioned Tampa. That's a little bit more interesting, right? Doug Martin has his own issues. He'll be suspended for the first three games next year. You know, Chris Sims may not be a starter. I guess that could possibly happen. But this is coming from Adrian Peterson, not coming from Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know if teams in this day and age are going to want to pay someone like him all that much.
I don't know what the financial ramifications are of Doug Martin, but do you think the Bucs could, if they're not egregious, would the Bucs try to get out from that deal that they signed him to last year?
Yes. Yes, I think they do.
Yeah.
You know, once he was a bust this year, now he's suspended for three games. I think they might move on.
Yeah, plus, I mean, he's in rehab. It brings up a whole other host of issues. Wish him well, but it's hard to invest in somebody like that. Unfortunately, I think that would probably be a lot of dead cap money if he got a decent guarantee. It would be a lot of dead cap money for 1 year for a running back that's not on your roster anymore. So financially, it may be more prudent to keep him around for another season before they moved on. In any event, so that's the deal there. What else was I? Yeah, we just got totally thrown off. Oh, I know what it was. Gus Bradley. He was the guy that I was moving towards. Gus Bradley is actually going to be the Chargers' defensive coordinator. So two guys that got fired and immediately have moved on to new pastures from Jacksonville to L.A. Goes Gus Bradley. So he could be a guy that gets right back into the mix here. Obviously, he had success when he was in Seattle, and now here we are in San Diego trying to see if he can help turn the Chargers' defense around, which has had many, many issues, injuries among them.
Yeah, I think it's a good hire. You know, Bradley, you know, sometimes we get all over these guys and they're bad head coaches, but that doesn't mean they're bad coordinators. Haven't we seen this before? Wade Phillips was a bad head coach, but an outstanding.
Three times.
You can make it up. Right. You can make an argument that he's a Hall of Famer as a coordinator. North Turner, same thing. You know, guys who are just bad head coaches because they, for whatever reason, they don't have that personality, things don't work out, whatever. But coordinators, they're fantastic. And I think Bradley might end up being in that same category.
Yeah, you know, another piece of news I saw really just on the NFL before we'll wrap up the games in the last segment, talk about which players that we're looking to target. It's really only two games to talk about, so we don't really have to go too deep into it. But Sammy Watkins had surgery again. Like, how many surgeries is this guy going to have?
Let you know how bad this foot injury is, right?
Yeah. Shaq Lawson both undergo surgery again. Like, Sammy Watkins thing, like, I get worried about Julio Jones and that toe injury because it seems to creep up every year. And you know he'll have, like, off-season toe surgery. But the Sammy Watkins thing, I think this is, like, his third surgery in the last 12 months.
Yep. And that Buffalo team's a dumpster fire right now. I mean, this Tyrod Taylor thing is not going away. I don't think he won't be the starting quarterback there next year for whatever. I don't understand why. I mean, yeah, he's not prototypical, but he's still a pretty good NFL starting quarterback, still top half of me. You want to bring in somebody else there, I have no issues with that. That's fine. But to just pretty much burn your bridge there and move on, this is going to be so – the lawyers are going to be involved here. You knew that right away as soon as they said he elected to have surgeries. That means –
shot across the bow.
Right. They want to get rid of him, and they don't want to pay for it. They don't want to pay the money they're going to owe him. This is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, and I think it's a case in point of teams that are moving on from the quarterback without having the plan. They assume he's not good enough, but they actually don't have a backup plan. And they will throw themselves into a Cardell Jones scenario before anybody wants to do it or anybody needs to do it, with a new head coach who's on the defensive side of the ball. So you can imagine how messy that could get. I think you're right. I think this is a team that, with all the defensive talent that they have, could be such a mess offensively. But maybe it's good for LeSean McCoy dynasty owners because he'll get the ball 300 times. So we'll wrap up the games in the next segment. We'll talk about exactly who you want to target in your playoff formats. It's Mike and George on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Update you on the polls as we head out. Coming up next is the weekend fantasy update and the polls. So here we go. Falcons are favored by 5. What result happens tomorrow? Falcons win and cover gets 47% of the vote. That wins. Packers win at 28%. 25% of the folks think it'll be a tight game. So Falcons with the Falcons win, but not covering. On the Steelers side, Pats are favored by 6. What result happens tomorrow? 40% think the Pats are going to win by a touchdown or more. And 29% think the Steelers win outright, with 31% saying the Pats win a close one. So that one's actually pretty close. That's right down the middle. As far as my son, people didn't really want to vote on it. What should my parenting strategy be for Owen's broken foot? Sit him in front of the TV is 33%. 42% of the people say give him some protein powder and add bulk so he comes out there like all jacked up after his four-week stint in the walking boot. So do you enjoy news but hate reading? Then the Fantasy News Desk, sponsored by the Daily News, is for you. Plug in and zone out as all of the day's top fantasy sports headlines and stories are relayed to you by our experts, Tony Cincotta and Greg Sussman. Join us on air at 6 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2:30 p.m., or listen at your own convenience by visiting us on demand at fntsy.com/radio or downloading the Fantasy News Desk on iTunes. Everything you need to know to win only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So there we go, George. I don't think any big surprises really on the polls there, but we'll see. I guess I got to go buy some protein powder. So on to the games. And we'll do this again tomorrow, so it doesn't we don't have to go a long-winded thing. But you did predict the Pats 27-23. I have the Steelers 27-24. Didn't get your feel on the Packers game. You think it's going to go over the 61. So give me some thoughts as to what the score of that game could be.
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to score points. If they were healthy, I think this could be maybe one of the more exciting games one of the more exciting games that we've seen in recent history. My problem is they're not healthy. I think Atlanta is sort of a team of destiny. I've been on them for weeks. This is before Dallas lost to it. I don't want people to say this. You listen to old school fantasy. I had Atlanta going to the Super Bowl a while back. I think they're a flawed team. Like I said, their defense is not very good. That's why I think they're a high-scoring game here. But I said it earlier in the show. I think the Packers can score 35 points, yet still lose convincingly. I think it could be like a 48-49-35 game. It wouldn't shock me at all. I don't think either team can really stop the other consistently. But I do think the Falcons' offense is better. So that's really what it comes down to me here. I wish Green Bay was healthy. I wish Nelson was healthy. I wish Adams was healthy. I wish their secondary was healthy. But in the end, I'm going for with Atlanta here. I think they'll win. And as far as covering, yeah, I think they'll do that too.
Okay, so I got a score. I'm going to go with the Falcons covering as well, and it looks like I'm over as well. 37-27 Falcons would be my score. I kind of agree with everything that you said. I'm an idiot. I'm saying this in general. I'm saying this because Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback position as well as I've ever seen anybody play it right now. Over these last stretch of weeks, I've never seen anybody play with this skill level, with the difficulty level, and difficulty from a offensive challenge standpoint to talent around him standpoint that's hurt. I've not seen anybody play with this level of skill. Yes, Tom Brady has all the accolades and the resume, but I've never seen him play quite like this for this stretch of time. In any event, I'm picking against Aaron Rodgers for a third week in a row. I'm an idiot. I thought the Giants were going to upset them, and then I thought Dallas was going to win, and then now I think the Falcons are going to win. 37-27, that's what I got. Do you have a score?
I have 48? I guess that's a little crazier. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm still going to go nuts. I'm going to go 41-35 Atlanta.
That would be a hell of a game, George.
I'm going for it. I just don't think he can stop the other. I'm pretty sure about the Falcons are scoring points here.
I think you were going to say 48. You were going to say 48. I think you want to go there. I think you want to go with a little bit of a distance here, but 48 is a crazy number.
Yeah, it is a crazy number. We just don't see it. We did see a game. Didn't we see a game a while back? I don't remember the playoffs where it was. Was it Atlanta and Arizona? Green Bay and Arizona? Did they go nuts in a game? So I just think it's going to be that kind of game. I don't think either team can stop the other on any kind of consistent basis.
That one was like a 51-45 kind of game, wasn't it?
That's what I'm feeling here. I'm feeling something crazy like this. I just don't think either team can stop the other. This is what I mean. I think Green Bay could score 35 points, yet still lose comfortably, where it's still not all that close. I just don't think they can stop Atlanta at all. I don't think Atlanta will make the same mistakes that Dallas did.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, we're going to have a track meet tomorrow. And I do think the reason I have a little distance there with the Falcons, I think that Rodgers is going to – I'm tempted to still pick Rodgers in my in one of my playoff formats. I actually used him last week in one of the formats, so I can't use him again. But I'm tentative to use him in my two and done because I think he may have to throw his way back into it. I do think Freeman and Coleman are going to have opportunities to have big games here. They're going to try to control the clock, keep them off the field, something Dallas didn't do a good enough job of, obviously, in many instances. So I think that's the route they're going to go. So that's why I have it 37-27 and maybe even a late touchdown for the Packers to make it look a little bit better. I don't think they're going to blow them out necessarily. I think this will be a game, but I think Matty Ice, my guy, is hopefully going to get here to the Super Bowl. My ideal situation for me, obviously, is Steelers, Falcons. Then I'm going to have a rooting interest in any event, but I fear a Packers-Patriots rematch. I will be devastated if that happens.
I'm sure you will be. Like I said, I just have a bad feeling you're going to end up regretting that you went to Dallas instead of waiting for the Super Bowl, even though I'll say it again. I think you did the right thing. I'm feeling stronger and stronger about Pittsburgh as the week goes on. And I just
stop. You're worrying me. The Steelers bandwagon is building, and I'm getting concerned. Too many people are starting
stronger.
To like the Steelers.
Didn't like the one I saw from New England last week. I'm sure they'll pick it up there.
All right, I'll talk you out.
That's the way I'm feeling.
I got 3 hours tomorrow to talk you out of it to make sure you think this Pats are going to blow them out so that it's no pressure and I don't have to worry about the decision that I made. Well, thank you, folks. Thanks for listening. 3 hours up, 3 hours down. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place from 7 to 10. Up next, it's the Weekend Fantasy Update. Thanks, folks. Have a good week.